Hello, welcome back to the Continue Cast for episode 5, which means we are halfway through this series. That's crazy. Halfway through the series already? What? So who do we have? We had episode 1, we had Josh Hassel come in. Episode 2, we had Dan Solo come in. Episode 3, we had Lauren Bassett come in. Episode 4, we had James O'Hurley come in. And episode 5, we've just had Ren Jackson come in. Now listen to this episode, and then listen to the other ones if you haven't already, because they were great episodes. Great episodes. I've enjoyed them. I've enjoyed that, and I'm feeling more comfortable sitting here and hosting this podcast, because before, I wanted to cry. Oh, I was stressed. But it's all good now. I'm chill. Ren Jackson come in with her friend, Karis, and they were a right chuckle, the pair of them. We had a great chat about Ren Jackson and I have had a very similar journey, as in we done music, we fell out of love of it for reasons. I'm not going to give the reasons, and then because you've got to listen, and then she come back into the music. She found it again, and she's really, really happy doing it right now. Had a great chat, and it's a funny episode. She talks about Red Flag, her single, debut single Red Flag, and how she had to delete a certain thing in that song, in the lyric, and changed it. It's quite funny. You need to listen to that. But we speak about her singing competitions. We just speak about her first stint in music and now her stint now. Had a great chat, honestly. She's just gone to Blue Water. So she's now in Blue Water with Karis, having a little shot. We were recording this in the second bank holiday in May, the last bank holiday in May. So the weather's decent. So I'm looking forward to getting out there, getting out to the sun. But yeah, they've now gone to Blue Water. But yeah, had a great chat. Hope you enjoy this episode. Episode 5, Ren Jackson of the Continue Cast. Let's get into it. Let's go. Right. Okay. I need to tell you a story quickly.
Go on.
First of all, the question is, have you ever been in a public situation where it's just really awkward? So you're out in public and there's like an awkward scenario going on.
I dare say there's been a few times.
Because I tell you why. I'm not even joking. So my other half, her family from Poland are down, right? So we went to London yesterday.
Okay.
So we're on the train coming back. So I don't know if you know Belvedere.
Do you know Belvedere? No, of it.
Yeah, right. We're at Belvedere Station. And when we're on the train, it's quite empty at this point. In the train.
Right.
But this group came on and they started having a tear up on the train. Ren, they're having a tear up.
They're having an absolute tear up.
So we're in the middle of the carriage, yeah. So we're in the middle, and the doors are either end.
Right.
Okay. So we're sat in the worst place, but in one of the sections where the door was, this guy was pushing this girl, and then this other guy then walked past us to get away from the fight, and then the other guy then followed him past us. And he's like, come then. And they were like fighting on the train. And then they got off the train. He took his shirt off and started fighting. What's crazy is like, my girlfriend's parents have been here before.
Okay.
But her auntie has it. It's her first time in England. What a great advert for England. It's her first time here and she's seeing that. It's crazy.
Brawl.
But like, what did you do in a situation? I can't like, you know, go, hey, you know, guys, easy, take care now. I can't get involved. Can I? What would you do?
I probably wouldn't get involved, if I'm honest. I'd be a bystander.
I couldn't believe it. when the doors closed, it started to happen on the train station in Dartford.
Yeah.
And like, the train wasn't moving. They closed the door. It was almost like the driver was like, 1 second, what's going on here? I want to check this out. But he wasn't moving. So we were just like there by the window, just watching this.
This does actually give me vibes of when Karis and I were on the train. Do you remember Karis? And there was that fight that broke. Was it a fight?
Yes,
or something that broke out. Yeah.
Where was that?
It was coming back from London.
Coming back from London.
And actually, they stopped the train at the next station. A load of police turned up, didn't they? And it was being held. And in the end, I think we just got off the train.
Yeah.
So this is very similar. Imagine if it was the same people. Like it could have been the same. But coming back from London again.
Yes. Yeah, coming back from London.
It's crazy. Honestly, it was mad.
But we, the guy on the platform, they were surrounding him, weren't they?
They were, yeah.
Like the southeastern, like the throwaway security came.
Police, they were surrounding him, and the trains like go. Well, no, we got off and walked past him, didn't we?
We got off in the end.
Yeah.
You got off while it was like you kind of like snipped past. Excuse me, and they're like.
There was a girl screaming, wasn't there? There was a woman that came over the tannoy, obviously. I don't know if it was the driver of the train or the attendant that was on there.
Yeah.
And literally she was like, is there any police personnel on the train? Is there so-and-so on the train? And all you could hear was this girl screaming, couldn't you? She's just like, what is going on? And
really?
The carriage next to us, wasn't it? Yeah. So we're like...
it sounds like it's quite normal then.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's quite normal then.
Sadly.
But like, I just felt bad, like, because, you know, I was like, to them, are you okay? Like to the parents, because they're in the middle of it. Like, what'd you do? Because it was quite intense. I didn't want to, you know. Oh my days.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, so you both have been in that situation.
Yeah, I feel like if someone was hurt though, I'd want to go and help.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like if like you say, like if a guy had pushed a woman or something like that, I feel like that's you'd want to. But then I'd equally be scared.
You don't have something worse.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, then.
But like, what'd you do? It was just. It's pretty mad. And after the train went, I was just expecting like the EastEnders theme tune to come on and that kind of thing. It was crazy. But we are sitting here with Ren Jackson, and we're sitting here. Well, Karis is over there. Karis has decided to go on the sofa. Who's Karis?
Karis is one of my very best friends.
Very best friends.
Yeah.
You wasn't expecting the answer, was you?
That's why I came over here. I was
How long have you two known each other?
Pandemic times.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we met through.
It's a long time.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Who knows?
So it was Arta that told me about you.
Mm-hmm.
Said so. Yeah. You need to get this Ren Jackson on the pod because she's because apparently. So basically, well, this is what he told me.
Mm-hmm.
It weren't bad stuff. Promise.
Good. Good.
He said that you was doing music for a while.
Yes.
And then you stopped doing music for a while.
Yeah, a long time.
And now you're just getting back into it again.
Yeah.
So let's go back to that first point of music.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how did you get into doing music, first of all?
So I was 15 at school and we were told, you've got your options coming up. What do you want to do? What do you want to choose? And things like that. So I think... there was me and a few sort of girlfriends at the time. We thought, you know, girl band vibes. Let's do some singing. Let's just do some singing.
Mm-hmm.
We thought that would be, you know, pretty straightforward. So we found out a little bit more. So then we had voice coaching. So we'd go to vocal lessons every Monday, which was good because I got out of English. So that was quite.
You didn't like English?
I used to love English.
Oh,
okay. But it was nice because you'd have like a note and you'd be like, oh, I've got singing. So you just vacate your lessons. So essentially that's where it started. And I took music as a GCSE, did performances in assemblies, all the things that they get you to do. And then went to art college. And then I think it sort of started again. I started to get this like love for singing back. And it was sort of, you know, not very confident. But just loved to go and sing. And so I started going to karaoke down in Rochester High Street and I met a whole ton of other people that loved to do karaoke as well. So that sort of reignited that passion again. And then I was singing, meeting loads of different people and people that were obviously, I'd say in industry and wanting to, you know, collab and, oh, I've got competitions coming up. You should definitely enter this competition and things like that. So I did X Factor a few times.
Did you?
Yes, I've done that a few times.
Right.
And then some local competitions. I did a local competition down at the Avenue Theatre in Sittingbourne.
No way, that's where I know the Avenue Theatre very,
we've
very
had
well.
We've had a conversation,
yes,
haven't we?
Yes.
And yeah, that's where I did a few of my competitions there. I did one down at, do you remember Dickens World down at
yeah, it's now turned into basically everything.
It's now
Nando's. There's a Pure gym there, there's a Nando's there. Yeah, I remember. Did you work there?
No, I did a competition down there as well. There was a competition, there's a theatre, and I never knew, but there was a theatre at the back. Where
of course, you're right.
And stuff like
you're
that.
Right.
A really lovely theatre, to be honest. Yeah, and I did local competitions there as well. And then I did a national competition called Rock the Mic, which was obviously a big competition. And I went to, oh God, what's the hotel? The hotel down in Maidstone that now is next door to Next and M&S. Down that, I can't remember what the...
Hilton.
Was that, yeah. So there,
is there a Premier Inn now? Is it something just, is it?
Arida?
Is this this big next with like two floors or something?
So the hotel there was having a big auditioning weekend.
Right.
And I just happened to go down there, went in, sung a song, and they said, right, okay, we like you, but we want you to do something else. And I remember, if I remember rightly, I did, I sung Miley Cyrus, The Climb.
Whoa.
And that was the one that got me through into this big national competition. And this national competition, Rock the Mic, was run by a lady called Melissa Bell, mm-hmm. who was Alexandra Burke's mum.
Mm-hmm.
So she was part of this, and she became my vocal coach for a little while by doing that competition. We all went up to Wembley on a bus to the final.
Really?
Everyone, which I took loads of my friends, they'd come and support me, and yeah, there was loads of us that went. And
got up in front of... So what are these competitions? What are they? Are they karaoke competitions?
No, they're actually singing competitions.
They're actual singing competitions.
So they're for people who play guitar and sing, or, you know, any sort of musical talent that they had.
Mm-hmm.
You could go and you could just audition.
So what was the... Of all these singing competitions, what was the... Is there, like, levels to them? Is what the one you did with Alexandra Braxman, like, one of the big ones you can do?
So this was, I'd never heard of Rock the Mic before. So even to this day, I'm not even sure if there were competitions before that. But there were stages to the competition. So you would get through certain rounds and you would, you know, perform against so many people and then you would go through. So I got through to the final, which was up at Wembley, which was like a club next door to the football stadium,
really?
Which is now not there because there's all just flats and everything there now.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's where I did like a big final.
What happens if you win something like that?
So I came third in that competition and I got studio time from that.
Right.
So I went into the studio with a few of the people that were in cahoots. I say cahoots in collaboration with the competition.
Okay.
And just did a couple of demo tracks and things like that. And then through meeting those people, that kind of escalated a little bit more.
That's interesting.
Mm.
Is that scary though? Was that like your first like proper kind of studio time?
So I'd obviously done singing lessons and things like that before this competition.
Right.
So I had recorded in the studio with my singing teacher before. So from that perspective, in regards to recording, no.
Yeah.
But the first time I think I'd ever been put into a proper studio environment where there was, you know, all the gear and you had people ad-libbing and things like that.
There's people in there.
So Melissa actually came and did some backing vocals for my track that
What'd you record?
Run by Leona Lewis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Was it something to do with Simon Cowell's label then?
Such a long time ago.
Because I remember I used to watch X Factor like mad when Alexandra Bradley and Leona Lewis and that was on it. Like, as of... Mm. Yeah, I... But I don't know, because Alexandra Burt won it. That means she goes onto his label. Mm-hmm. Leona Lewis won it. They get the sign to his label.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I don't know if like Recording Run is because of the connection to the label.
I sung that song as my competition song.
Oh, so there's no connection. No
connection there. And I don't necessarily know really that everyone involved in that competition had anything to do with Simon Cowell or anything like that.
Oh, okay.
I mean, they may have known him. They may have worked with him or, you know, these were, as far as I remember, people that had worked in the industry and were just, obviously, they've just decided that they're going to run a big competition and try and find national talent,
mm-hmm.
if you were, to give them a step up. Mm. So
when you record it, then what? Do you get a copy of that? Do they then send it out to...
So there wasn't anything like that, unfortunately. It was just a case of you've got studio time and whatever you record in that studio time, you would get a CD.
A CD? On my days? What's that?
A CD. Or it would get put onto, you know, there'd be like an MP4 that you get emailed or it would go on a USB mm-hmm. stick or something like that, that you could then use for your SoundCloud or, you know, those sorts of platforms.
Was you proud of it, the recording?
Yeah, I think at the time I was. I mean, I've done loads of recording since then, even in local studios. And I listen back now and I think it's more of a case of what I was doing then. I'm not saying I'm not proud of now, but I think I've just come a long way.
Yeah, fair enough.
And I can hear the progression in my voice and how that sounds.
Yeah.
So I'm not, yeah.
So if you listen to that recording now, do you go, or do you go, okay? Like, how? What are you like listening to, like older recording?
There's probably a little bit of both in that. I'm still proud of it.
Yeah.
But I think when I did listen back, so I've got my SoundCloud, my old account, and I went back on there a few weeks ago. And I was like, whoa, okay.
So what's the difference? What's the changes for you?
I think
vocally.
Definitely vocally. Probably there's a bit more confidence there in my ability.
Mm.
There's still the same passion there, though. There's still the same love for it.
Mm.
So, but yeah, just listening. I think as well, obviously, we're talking 10, 15 years ago, so your voice naturally changes in any case as you grow older. So just hearing that mature sound, I think, made me sort of go, oh, okay, I know what I sound like now. And I've come quite a way.
When you record this thing,
mm-hmm.
so you've now got it.
Yeah, I've got it.
So that must have injected a hell of a lot of confidence into you. What happens after? What do you do after that?
So I think, to be fair, I think this is the point where I'm trying to think back to how old I was. I was young 20s.
Mm.
I could have been 23, 24 around this time. This is where that experience made me think, whoa, okay, I've just performed in front of 2,000 people. I've never done that in my life.
There was 2,000 people
2,000 people. And I've never, ever done that. And that to me was massive. That is massive.
Yeah.
And for someone who is naturally, I suppose, quite nervy.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know how I did that. But from there, I think, I want to say, like, I feel like maybe that the Avenue Theatre was after that or something.
Mm.
I'd have to go back and work out
timelines
and stuff like that. But I just remember coming away from that thinking, wow, okay, karaoke's not so bad now, to perform in front of minimal people. I've done 2,000. That's, you know, it's a piece of cake now.
Yeah.
And then that ignited I want to do this. I really want to see where this goes. Mm. And that's when I started putting those things up on SoundCloud.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I started to frequent, you know, different karaoke venues and build up a network of different people. And just keep performing. And then I started looking at record labeled and starting to look at, well, what do I want to do? I want to be signed. That was the goal. I want to be signed. And I remember talking to one of my friends, Serena, and there was like a plan. We had like a Project 26 or Plan 26, if I remember rightly. And that was the year that I was turning 26. Mm-hmm. And that was the year that I was gonna do it. I was gonna, you know, get into it properly. Mm. Obviously it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. But I remember going up to an independent record label in Milton Keynes, and my mum and dad driving me up there because I had an appointment with them. So we drove all the way up and we went in, and I took everything with me. I took you know, all my demo discs, I took things that I'd written, I took photos as well, which is really weird, but you take everything.
Yeah.
And you take, and I remember I've got a book of clippings which I still have, which are photos of, you know, from photo shoots, from being in the paper, you know, that sort of thing.
So it's just like a portfolio.
Yeah, of everything that I've done, and you know, yeah. So that was the plan. So Mum, Dad, and I, we went up to Milton Keynes, and we got there, and I remember having this meeting, and they were saying, "Oh, you know, this is brilliant. We can sign you. We can do all of this." However,
mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
I was like, oh. Okay, and this was my first experience of this.
Yeah.
And it was a case of, we'll do so much, but you need to put a grand in, or you need mm-hmm. to put, you need to support it with X amount of money. So I was like, right, okay. So I think when you're in that position, we sort of sat there and was like, okay, well, just give us the information and, you know, we'll go away and we'll think about it, but we're really interested. And I remember I wanted my mum and dad there specifically because I didn't want the wall pulled over my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Because one, this was a first experience. And two, I think you go in there with rose-tinted glasses, like, this is going to be amazing.
100%, yeah,
I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to be recording, I'm going to be writing songs, you know. And I just remember leaving there, and I think we all got in the car and we were like, wow, that was interesting. And the bubble is, you know, it's burst, because you're then thinking to yourself, okay, this is not how I sort of expected this to go.
Mm.
And I'd been on their website and I'd been looking at everyone, you know, these are our artists on our books and these are the people that we represent. Da, da, da. Okay, well, you're not saying the truth. You're not saying the real, you know, what that person has to do. Mm. And obviously, I'm guessing, you know, independent label, they've got to get their money from somewhere. Mm. But yeah, I just remember walking out of there feeling quite disheartened and, you know, but equally like, oh, you know, it's quite exciting, I've done it and that's amazing. And then I had an opportunity to take 4 original songs and give them to Universal,
right,
through a contact from Rock the Mic.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, I've got somebody who will listen, who's interested, go away.
Is there a but?
Write these songs.
Yeah.
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 And I was buzzing. Yeah. I was literally like, this is it.
Yeah.
This is, you know, this is Universal. Universal are going to listen to my tracks, and this person who's going to listen to them, you know, what are they going to say? And, you know, and I remember getting the feedback, and the feedback was, yeah, we like her, you know, the songs are good.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Okay. But can you go away and develop them a little bit more? So, okay, fine. Went away, developed the songs a little bit more, went back. Okay. Yeah, we like her. However, is she willing to cut all her hair off and lose some weight? And I was like, I remember saying, cut my hair off, like, what are we talking? I've always had long hair. Like, how are we talking? Oh, like Frankie Bridge from the Saturdays. And I was like, whoa, okay. Right. And you will need to lose some weight. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm not by any means unhealthy. I'm not by any means overweight. And that's, I think, when it struck me, I was like, no, if I'm going to do this, this mm-hmm. is not the way that I want to do it.
Yeah.
And I think back now and I think, wow, that could have really made me think, oh my God, you know, I could have done some damage in a way.
Yep.
But luckily enough, I think I had such, and I do have such, I can't think of the word, but I know who I am, and I know that that's not how I want to get somewhere by changing who I am. And that was a big thing for me. So after that, it was like, no, I don't want to cut my hair.
Yeah.
And I don't think I need to lose weight. And that's when I think, when probably Arta maybe saw a decline in like me following that track.
Was it like knocking, could it have knocked your confidence? Because it was nothing as you, it changed you, or did it knock your confidence? Was it all of these just experiences just made you be like, do you know what, is I don't really want to get involved in an industry like this. I'm kind of done.
Yeah.
Was that it?
Yeah, I think so. And I think I can look back now and sort of say that I'm glad that I stuck by my guns because I look at other artists now and then back then when they were coming out, and I'm thinking to myself, like, they're not changing. So why have I got to cut my hair and lose weight? Like, I'm just glad that I stuck to my guns. And I think maybe it might have knocked me a little bit. And I think it probably knocked the dream. It kind of made me realise that the industry maybe isn't what I thought it was. And that's not the reason why you, or why I would want to go into it. I want to go into it because I love to sing. I want to create music. I want to get up and sing to people and, you know. So I think it did. I think as time went on and that declined, that sort of, that chasing record labels and chasing putting things out, it just became, oh, I go to karaoke and I like to sing.
Yeah.
And that's all it went to.
Yeah.
And then I did some karaoke competitions.
But that's fine. That's fine. Yeah.
And met more people. Met some really lovely people down in Maidstone at the Royal Albion. Specifically, I remember, well, we're still friends now, a guy, Ron, he did a lot of the equipment, and I'm losing my words, Alex. he wasn't a roadie, but he did all like the big festivals, a bit like what Phil does, goes and does all the, you know, lays all the equipment out and does all of that sound engineering, if you will. That's what I want. And he said to me, he was like, I can help you and we can get you gigging. And he did. So I did a few gigs down at the Royal Albion, which I loved, which was really good. Met another guy. We did a gig and we shared the gigging time, which was great as well. Because obviously the onus isn't all on you. You've got somebody else there to lean on, and that was really fun. Did a few gigs, and then I just remember having a bit of a bad one equipment wise. Things I was placed out. I went outside, and things were, I guess, really, when I look back now, really silly things to stop me from continuing gigging. You know, really silly, because I should have just carried on.
You just didn't want to do gigging anymore.
No, something from that experience just made me go, oh, actually.
Added that to the whole label letdown thing.
Yeah.
The thing is, like, that's what it is. Like, a lot of people in our position, they do have that thing where we have to chase record labels. But ultimately, realistically, the labels need to chase you.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. you, they need to... But basically, there was a video that I reposted. I don't know if you saw it on Instagram.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
But that I've been saying that to so many artists for years, because that is all it is. Because labels have now changed. They don't want to sign you unless you've got a fan base.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you need to have 50 to 100,000 followers, whatever.
Yeah.
But then they need to look at all of your... They look at all of your posts and they see, have you got engaging fans? Is it robots? I like mm-hmm, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Is it robots that are following you?
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it could, you could have, like... But how many followers have you paid for them? Are they robots, mm-hmm, whatever? Because people mm-hmm do that, yeah, to get their things up.
Yeah.
They need to see if it's a legit fan base that you've got. And then you're selling out shows. Like, I know it's quite a, you know, kind of a lazy comparison. But Ed Sheeran, for example, he was literally sleeping on people's couches. And he started to build up a fan base on his own. He gave up everything just to do music.
Yeah.
And then he was selling shows at 5,000 people. And he was getting like 10, 15 grand, you know, a night.
Yeah.
Doing, and then when that sort of thing is happening, the label's like, whoa, well, 1 second. Then they step in.
Mm.
Because labels, they don't want to, as much as they say, they don't want to invest in you. They don't want to invest in you. They want you to do all the work for them, basically. They don't want to do all this. They don't want to put money into you. Yeah. They want you to make money for them. And it's so depressing. And it's also, like, with the image thing, like, even with, like, Ed Sheeran, he's not allowed to cut his hair.
Mm.
And, like, for certain albums, you'll find that when he released one album, he's got a beard. The next album, the beard's gone. Do you see what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The next one, he'll have a beard again.
Yeah.
Billie Eilish, first album, green hair.
Green hair.
Second
yeah
album, blonde. Mm-hmm. This album, jet black hair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, country music.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Davis.
Yes.
Not allowed to shave his beard off.
Mm-hmm.
Not allowed.
Mm.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's absolutely insane. But that is it.
Yeah.
Like, it's just,
you're maintaining an image.
Yeah. It is. It's insane.
Yeah.
But, like, I can understand why, like, it would get to you, because you're not going to know that, you know, about the whole image thing, unless you're in it, you know it now.
Mm, I do know it.
But, like, it's absolutely insane how that, and then obviously the gig experience, like, completely knocked your confidence. Like, I understand it. I do get it.
Yeah.
So then you stop.
Yeah.
You stop completely doing music entirely. You stop it. So yeah, you're just back to work.
Back to work, yeah. Graphic designer.
It didn't happen. Psh.
Yeah.
That's it. Move
yeah
on.
Yep. Yeah. And then you get those conversations that come up, like, oh, I've got a friend who does DJing and things like that. So I'd be like, oh, that's cool. Oh, you need a vocalist. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, I do sing.
Mm.
Oh, do you? Really? Yeah.
How long was the gap then, the hiatus?
Ooh. Probably, I want to say maybe like two years before I then recorded, because I then started to do a little bit of recording with house artists, like mm-hmm DJs.
Okay.
So I've done a little bit of that. So I've had I've done vocals for tracks and things.
Mm-hmm.
So probably about 2 years before I actually decided, oh, you know, actually I'll dip my toe back in.
Yeah.
I'll see how I feel about it. I mean, karaoke was still happening in that 2 years, but just not chasing anything, you know, like labels or gigging.
Hmm.
Just, yeah.
Things like karaoke, there was a guy, episode 2, Dan Solo came in and he was saying about karaoke. And like you, was kind of restricted to tell me that karaoke is like, you don't want to say it because part of you is embarrassed. But I think, and I said this to Dan, when you do karaoke, forget all the outside stuff. I think it's good for your vocal.
It's good practice.
Because it's in the key of the artist. It's not like, for me, guitar or piano or whatever, I don't sing all these big notes, so I bring it into a key that suits my voice. Yeah. So the outside people won't know that.
Yeah.
They won't know. They've just changed the key, like lower, a lot lower.
Yeah.
They won't know.
Yeah.
They think, oh, he's singing that song. But karaoke, you're singing the exact same key as that person. So I don't see any problem in it at all. Mm-hmm. I think it's good for your vocal. It makes you a stronger singer.
Yeah.
And ultimately, you're performing in front of people.
It's getting that confidence to be back in front of people again.
Yeah.
regardless of whether they're listening or not.
Mm.
It's about you getting up and how you feel about in that, you know, about yourself in that space and the delivery that,
yeah.
that you know you can give. Ultimately, karaoke is just a bit of fun as well.
Exactly. Yeah, some people do take it seriously, though. Like, some people, you get those ones at karaoke, they take it way
take
seriously.
Take it really seriously. Yeah, I've been around a few of those.
Yeah. But are you writing? When do you start writing your own songs?
I started writing, so my very first song that I penned was 2008.
I love that saying, penned.
Penned.
That's a proper songwriter right there. Yeah. So this song that you penned, yep, mm-hmm, I like,
yeah.
Did you like it? I love that, because my reaction is exactly the same. What was the title of this song, Ren? What was it?
It was called Blind.
It was called Blind.
Blind.
Right, go on. What was Blind about?
Okay, so Blind was about...
Because everyone's embarrassed about their first few songs. It's funny.
It wasn't about me. It was about... Oh, I suppose it was in a roundabout way. So Blind was about a friend who was complaining. It sounds awful. Basically, they weren't learning their lesson with a guy.
Okay.
They kept going back.
Yeah.
So I wrote about it and... I think the lyrics are on my phone somewhere. But yeah, it was...
Was this friend you?
No.
Was it Karis?
No.
Okay.
No, this is a very, very, did you, very did long
you,
time ago.
Did you show that person this
no,
song?
No, never.
You never did?
Never. So yeah, so this song is about her relationship and what she was going through, but how she was kind of bringing it through into the friendship. And
okay.
It was like, I'm offering advice and I'm telling you, he's bad.
Yeah.
Like, nothing good can come of this, but every time it was just, oh, I've, you know, I'm back here again. I'm like, okay, that's fine.
You never showed her this song?
Never, no.
You're going to show it to her tomorrow?
Absolutely not.
but that is cool. Like, I've always said, like, songwriting is like a tap. Like, I've like you turn the tap on, and there's always mucky water comes out, and now and then the clear drinkable water comes out. That's the good songs, and then it goes mucky again.
Yeah.
Like, people think when I write songs, oh, Alex, you write good songs. No.
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 I write some shockers. I write somewhere on the day, I'm like, this is the dog's dangles. This is it. I'm gonna break, and I play it the next day. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that song. And the next day I'm like, that didn't
this
happen.
Is awful.
That did not happen, that song.
Rewind.
We didn't do it. But we all do that.
Mm.
So, but when did you start getting comfortable and being like, okay. What was the first song you wrote that you liked? And you was like...
So the second one in 2010...
Unblind was this called.
Yeah, she's all good now. No, so this one was about me.
Oh, okay.
This was about something I was going through. We all write about love, don't we? And the people
yeah.
that, you know, that we were seeing or we have seen or,
yeah.
you know. So, yeah, this was called Yes or No. So I guess now, in today's terms, this would have been a situationship, if you will.
Okay, a situationship. Yeah.
Where it's kind of like, is this a go?
Yeah.
Yes or no?
Yeah.
And that's where the song is.
Oh, is this
yes
a go,
no?
Yes or no?
Yeah.
Oh, well, okay.
That wasn't the lyrics, but the lyrics do include yes or no.
Oh,
but yeah,
okay.
that's basically what I was saying is, you know, I'm here and you're here and where's this going?
Did you send in this song?
No.
Is this a go, yes or no? Well, after that, no.
Absolutely not. No, no.
So you never showed your friend?
No.
Blind?
No.
He didn't show this, was it, did it turn to a boyfriend?
No.
No, well, this person.
Could have done.
This song, so when you write songs about people, do you ever say, I've written a song about you, or do you just keep it to yourself? No one knows.
Keep it.
No one's knowing.
No.
So Karis don't know any songs?
Karis knows no songs. I haven't written about Karis.
Oh, haven't you?
No, I haven't. Yes.
But so you don't... You don't...
we'll do something together. We can pen something together.
But you don't... You like keeping it to you.
I kind of feel like that's...
You just like writing about other people.
Well, and myself. I think mainly everyone has a source of, has situations in their life, don't they, that are a source of, unfortunately, inspiration for things.
Yeah.
But also I think it helps with your level of understanding, mm-hmm. maybe what that person's going through, that maybe what you're seeing outside, you don't know the extent of certain details,
it's
I guess,
clever.
As well.
I couldn't do that. I couldn't get a situation from somebody else and turn it into a song. I couldn't do that. Mm. So that's all of the songs that I write are written about me, or I create something with me in it. So that's a really good thing to have. Because one of the phrases I dislike the most is called writer's block.
No.
I don't... Do you know?
I get designer's block.
Designer's block.
So bad, yeah.
See, I don't know what that is because I cannot design anything. I wouldn't want to design anything. Don't trust me to design anything.
Okay.
No, I couldn't do that. I wouldn't know where to start. What was the last thing you designed?
The last thing I designed. So for myself, it would have been stuff for Red Flag.
So you're doing all of your promo and stuff. Mm-hmm. That's it. We'll talk about Red Flag in a second. But with writer's block, it's like, for me, if you turn around and you say you've got writer's block, that's just a lazy way of saying, I ain't got nothing. But like, for me, I call it a writer's diversion. So you know you're driving, yeah?
Yes.
And there's road closed. You've got to go in, yeah? You've got to go somewhere else.
Yeah, you've got
to,
yeah.
So like, that's kind of, I feel like, what you do. Like, if you haven't got anything internally, writer's diversion, write about someone else. Write about someone else's thing. Or you could probably watch TV. You could probably watch Friends or The Office or something. And whatever Monica and Chandler are going through, or whatever Michael Scott's going through, you could probably like write a song about that. Exactly.
So that's what
I like. I like when people do that, like people that prolifically write. Half those songs are going to be trash.
Oh, yeah.
But you probably... Have you ever written a song that's terrible, but you've kept it there, but there's something in that terrible song you've taken out and you've put it into a decent... You've done that.
We did that with Red Flag.
Exactly.
Because I think... I mean, I'm not sure about you, Alex, but now that I've got back into it, and I'm not saying that I'm any good at writing or, you know, but the things that I guess collect in my phone or in my notebook, or, you know, sometimes those are just lines. They are just lines of, you know, they're just lyrics.
Yeah.
That essentially where I put them, first of all, like you were saying, they might not go in that song. They might filter out to something else.
Exactly.
But now that I've started again, I've got... I say lists. I've got lines and lines of things that I'm like, oh, yeah, that'll go there. But then I'll go away a couple of days and I think, actually, no, that probably works better over here.
Yeah.
And that's what happened with Red Flag as well.
That's good. Which
works.
Just write titles, emotions, lines, rhyme words, something, and it will inspire something later on in the line. You might not write... There may be days where you might not write a full song, but you can write something. We're consuming content all the time. You know, your TikToks and TV and all the stuff, and like reels and stuff. We're consuming stuff, so you can write something. Yeah. Yeah. You will get something.
Yeah.
But like... So you're still writing. So... When was it a case of you wrote Red Flag and was like, I want to go back out there? Or was there something else before Red Flag that made you want to start promoting yourself and doing all that stuff?
So Yes or No was the song that I felt most comfortable with back in 2010 that was going to go out onto iTunes. Because... There were no other real platforms at this point.
Yeah.
Or was there like LimeWire, wasn't there, and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
But that's essentially, Yes or No was the song where I was like, yeah, okay, I think I can probably put that out.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, life just took over in that time and it just never happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it is one that I've spoke to my singing teacher about recently that I've thought about. rejigging and rehashing into more of a country genre type of thing, and maybe rewriting bits of it.
Yeah.
Or writing from it.
Yeah.
So Yes or No was the song that I genuinely thought, oh yeah, I want to put that out. Then life got in the way.
Mm-hmm.
And then over the pandemic and up to now, friends and family have been like, you really should gig. You really should get back doing what you love doing. I'm like, no, don't want to do it.
Yeah.
And then a family friend who is absolutely amazing, Katie May, absolutely amazing singer. She did a set at a family wedding back in October.
Mm.
And I was just absolutely in awe, just like, you know, you're just so good. And then my mum turned to me and she said, you want to do this, don't you? And I was like, yeah, I really do. I really want to get up and sing. And she was like, well, you just got to go for it. And then something then just was like, okay, let's go. Let's do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then instead of probably getting my set list together and going out gigging at the end of last year, I decided I'm going to go to my singing teacher. I'm going to see where I am at vocally, because I knew I'd got into bad habits as well. So I wanted
karaoke would do that, wouldn't it? Yeah.
I wanted to assess where I was.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, yes, I had picked up some bad habits, which I
what would be a bad habit?
Probably not breathing.
Oh, that's one. Yeah.
Not breathing. Not breathing properly.
Yeah.
Anything
else?
Maybe it's going to be your control. So breathing, vocal control.
Yeah.
All of that.
Because that doesn't really matter in karaoke. It's more about, is it more about the performance more than anything else in karaoke?
Maybe for someone who's not taking it seriously. but I think when you sing and you get up and you do karaoke, you are there for for fun. But essentially, you do want to put in a good performance and you do want to stretch what's happening vocally.
Yeah.
You want to give yourself a little bit of a challenge, and you know that. I mean, my vocals probably wouldn't have got stronger if I hadn't have been doing that. But I just knew that I'd got into some bad habits.
Right. So iron those out,
see where I am.
Yeah.
Which we did.
Yeah.
And then I started to think about, well, what is it I want to do? Like, when I go out gigging, what songs do I want to sing? What songs do I enjoy singing? Would I think about singing some of my own? Ooh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just thought, oh, do you know what? I'm gonna dabble. I'm gonna dabble back in writing something at least.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's crap, I just thought, do you know what? And then that was it. By the end of last year, I sort of had. I went on GarageBand.
Okay.
I was like, okay, let's see what this is about. Started putting in some beats and things like that, and I was like, okay. And then I had this melody keep going around in my head.
Mm.
And I told my singing teacher, and I said, I've got this melody. And he was like, okay, can you hum it? Can you sing it? And I was like, yep, okay. He was like, right. So he started putting this down for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I went away. And I went back a week later, but 4 days after, so by him putting that down, 4 days later, I had verse, bridge, chorus.
Written. Okay.
Very quickly. Because I was like, oh, okay, no, this is flowing. Then got stuck on the second verse, like you do.
Yeah.
And then that was very, very, that was a natural progression back into something that I thought, okay, I really like this.
Mm.
And I knew at the end of last year that the songs that I wanted to incorporate into gigging again were country. Because I just, that is the genre that I love.
Mm.
Before Texas Hold'em dropped, Mm-hmm. That was mm-hmm. that was like I'm doing my thing. I'm doing my little, you know, I'm line dancing over here, and I'm loving it. Mm. And then that dropped, and I was like, whoa, okay. Country is the genre of the moment. Mm. But yeah, just that kind of happened with Red Flag.
Mm.
And then I obviously got talking to my singing teacher, and I was like, look, I would like to put this out. I'd like to put it out like we were going to do with Yes or No 10, 15 years ago. Where the hell do I put it out now? Like, where does it go? What's changed? And he gave me some distribution websites.
Mm.
Honestly, Alex had no idea what I was doing. All I knew, I was like, right, well, I've got the MP3 and I've got the WAV. What do I do with it?
Yeah. We've all been there.
What do I do with it? So I went on the distribution site, and he was like, right, you're going to pay to put it out. And I was like, cool, that's fine.
Yep.
One-off payment of whatever it was, $24. Yes. That's fine. And then I started doing it, and I was like, oh, this is a bit scary. Well, I'll do it anyway. You know, just keep going.
Yeah.
Keep going. And then that was it. It said release date. I was like, oh, go on then. Chuck it in. Did a couple of videos because I like doing covers and things. So I was posting those up on TikTok and
mm-hmm.
Instagram. Still, like, you know, the following is low, really. Do you know what I mean? But you're doing it because you love it.
Yeah.
You're doing it, and it's not for that. You're doing it because, like, oh, yeah, I'm back into this now. I'm in the groove. And then that was it. Red Flag just kind of went. And then I was like, well, what do I do now? How do I get people to listen to it?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, met people like yourself, you know, on a break and things like that. And seeing those things. And then my singing teacher was like, what about some local radio stations? I was thinking to myself, there is no way people are going to have this on a radio station.
Mm.
Because my mind's obviously back, way back,
mm-hmm.
thinking, well, you're not going to play this on Heart and Capital and things like that. How does this work now? And then he was like, you go really local, you go independent, you know. And that's when I was like, okay, this has changed. This has really changed. Yeah. Actually, this is really exciting because there are more avenues now for me to go down and putting this out than just the real mainstream route, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, there are people picking up local artists. There are people picking up independent, you know, radio stations, and they're sending their stuff. And I didn't just generally was like, do you know what? Give it a go. What's the worst that can happen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they started playing it. So UK Country messaged me back. I just woke up from a nap on a Saturday.
Love a nap.
And I just read an email, messaged Karis, and was like, no way, no way. I was running around my mum and dad's house. I can have a song on the radio. Like, what? And I was like, I can have a song on the radio. And then that was it. It just, I was like, oh, do you know, I'll go a few more avenues and a few more radio stations, and actually really started delving into it. And there is an absolute abundance of people that are willing to listen to your music.
Yeah.
That aren't, you know,
after your monies.
Mm-hmm.
Wanting to change your hair to Frankie Bridge.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's crazy, honestly. Mm. So, but do you feel like you're happier doing music now than you was before in the first stint?
Yeah.
You're in a good place of it.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that's due to age.
Yeah.
And experience.
Yeah.
There's the age old saying, isn't there? I wish I knew mm-hmm. what I knew now, I wish I knew then, kind of, you know, that saying. But yeah, I do now. And I think from those experiences with music, but life experience as well, gives you something more to write about. Mm-hmm. Gives you, I think, you know who you are a little bit more as well.
What's Red Flag about? Well, no. Red Flag, obviously. But what's it about?
So, Red Flag is about, I guess, meeting someone.
Have you sent this person the song?
No.
I've tried, but she's not sending it, no. Right.
And just meeting somebody who you think, oh yeah, no, I quite like you.
Yeah.
And you've been on a few dates and you're texting and it's going well.
Mm.
But then you're kind of like, oh, there's a few things here that just aren't adding up, or there's some red flags happening.
Give me one of these things.
A red flag? So let's go to the lyrics. So left on red.
Okay, right, okay.
No good deeds. Keep checking my phone, no sign of life for days.
For days?
For days.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I get probably maybe for like a day, might be busy.
Oh, no.
Might be at work, feeding the ducks or something.
No, we're talking...
Days.
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 At one point, weeks.
Weeks? Weeks?
In which case, I need to have a good chat with myself.
Karis has given you the point there. Yeah. So
basically,
if it's for a few days, like, aren't you just a bit like, yeah, mm. All right, mate, see you later. But you believed.
I'm blind.
We've gone full circle, haven't we?
We've gone full circle. But yeah.
So.
But that's what it's about. So I guess it's about, you know, for anyone who's in that situation. Ship or you know, in that situation is, you know, don't do it. Don't
so
you recognize the red flags.
So you basically list this guy's red flags in the song. Yeah. Is one of them he was a Tottenham fan or something? Was one of them that? You're a Spurs fan. You're a Tottenham fan, aren't you?
No, I'm a Gooner through and through.
Oh, yeah, but that would have been a red flag if he was a Tottenham fan.
Well, he was.
Are you being serious? Are you for real?
No.
That is the red flag, isn't
know?
It?
How did you know?
Well, that's it. Like, I always say, did he support Tottenham? Yes, we'll get rid. He supported Spurs.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Ugh. One of the few. So I'm guessing you liked him at that point before he said that. Because if you open with, hey, my name's Hot Rodney.
Right.
And I support Spurs, you would have just gone... Maybe see you later.
Yeah,
so it was a bit later on. Did he ever invite you to a Spurs game?
No, but I invited him to an Arsenal.
Did he go?
That was our first date, actually.
Wait, you went to whoa.
not to the Emirates or anywhere.
Yeah.
I think we were playing Man City. Yeah, we were.
Don't you think that maybe his friends found out he was seeing a Gooner gal? Do you think that could have been a problem?
No.
Do you think that could have been an issue? Because I think I've seen this girl. What's him? She's a Gooner. Oh, do you reckon that could have been?
Quite possibly. Who
could
knows?
Have been.
Who knows?
It's just, it makes me laugh how people like get older. I get like when you're younger, like you might want to support Tottenham or whatever because you don't know any better. But when you get older and you still support them when you get older. Yeah. See, that's the bit I don't get. I always feel like you will grow out of it at some point. Do you agree?
Oh, well, you can only hope, can't you?
But somehow...
They keep flogging that horse.
Yes, exactly. Oh, so
there's a song there. There's a working title.
But that is hilarious that he supported Spurs. But like, so... Have you written it in a way that if he listened to it, he'd be like, no, she did. Would he know? Because there's the unread thing and whatever.
Okay, so
he knows.
I put a song out. He does know. He does know.
But is there any like
this is on the radio?
Is there like a personal touch in there that will make him be like,
okay.
Oh.
So I had to take the personal touch out when I was writing it.
Oh, we took it out.
I put his name in it, and then
well,
I
you
like,
put his name. She put her name in.
Then
the
I
song.
Then I re was looking at it and rereading it, and I was like. No, I don't feel comfortable with this. You know, it's not like Taylor Swift did.
So it wasn't like, it turns out I'm not a fan, Dan. Like, what was it? What did you do? I can't believe you put his name in the song.
Well,
oh,
it's not there
yeah,
now.
Well,
it's
your
not
number's
there now.
On delete, Pete. Like, what did you do?
I can't.
Did you record his name?
And then delete it? Or did you delete it before the recording?
Okay, so I suppose to clarify, it was a surname. It wasn't a first name.
Okay, right, okay.
But at this point, we were still in the writing, you know, we were still developing. And I was just like, no, I don't feel comfortable with that.
Mm.
So I rewrote a line.
Yeah.
And was like, yeah, no,
love
that.
Should have recorded both versions and then sent him with his name in it.
I've got the other recorded version on my phone, actually.
What, of his name? It's hilarious. Ain't that jokes? Ain't that jokes? I think that's jokes. I think that's jokes. Like, you've written a song about someone, you slam in them, and you put their freaking name in it. Like, that's just...
It's just wrong. It's just wrong, isn't it?
It's like, was that Dear John, isn't it? Taylor Swift did it, didn't she?
Dear John, yeah.
So people have done it.
Yeah. What was that, John Mayer?
It was John Mayer, wasn't it?
John Mayer, yeah.
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 I remember that. She slammed him in that song. Who could do that? What's the...
No smoke without fire, is
it? Oh, there we go. There's another lyric there. But like, what did you say, flogging the horse?
Yeah.
Flogging a dead horse. Yeah, so we got some...
That's some real country.
We're basically writing your next record here, aren't we?
Collaboration.
So you got Red Flag out, it's doing well, you're promoting it, and you do all the promotion yourself, all the pictures and stuff, you do all that yourself, yeah?
Yeah, sending all the emails off to the radio stations.
So you're your own label.
Yeah.
You don't need them because she's her own label now. So you're a singer, you're a writer, yeah? You're producing the songs. Yeah?
With my singing teacher.
You're with your singing teacher, but you're still a part of it.
Yep.
You're removing lyrics of people's names in the songs.
So quite
you're
proper, rightly, yep.
Yeah, you're doing all the promotional stuff. You're sending the emails. You are your own label. You don't need a label. You're your own label. What's your label going to be called? Call it now. Name it now.
Oh.
Ren Productions.
Ooh.
Red Flags with a Z. I don't know. But you're your own label.
Yeah.
So you...
Three chords and the truth.
That's great. That's awesome. What's the next thing for you?
Gigging.
You want to get back into gigging?
Yes. So
are you ready for it?
No.
No?
Well, I... Yes. Yes and no.
Yes and no.
Just plug in songs. Here, yes. Yeah. So equipment has arrived. A nice new Sennheiser mic.
You've opened it yet?
Yeah.
Have you used it yet?
Not yet.
We need to be using that.
We need to be using it.
Yeah.
So that is the plan of action there. Started writing two new songs.
Okay.
Which I can add.
Oh.
One of them that I'm working on at the moment. Is not based on anyone, or it is just a very light-hearted.
Oh, you're
country,
maturing.
Country vibe.
You're definitely maturing now. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. So it's a problem. What got you into country music quickly?
So, growing up, Mum used to play Shania.
Of course.
You know, Faith Hill. I listened to Leanne Rimes. Leanne Rimes, I think, was my soundtrack of my teens, and then late teens I started to dabble a little bit more, and this is when I found Taylor Swift,
of course,
completely unknown.
Yep.
At this point she was putting stuff out and I was like, oh my gosh, yes, this is great, this is really good, and I'm loving the country vibes. And then from that point it was like, oh, who else,
yeah,
you know. So and it's just a very, I feel like it's a very comfortable genre.
Yeah.
It's probably sounds a bit blah, but it's not, like I say, three chords and the truth. That is, you can write about anything.
Yeah, storytelling music. And you can easily assign yourself to a lot of the songs out there in country music. I mean, I love country, that's what I listen to.
Yeah,
I love it. I love it so much. Yeah. But it's cool that you're making country music, storytelling music.
Yeah.
So have you got, do you reckon you're going to have another song out this year? Because this will probably be out late summer, I think, because I want to record the series before I put it out, so I can put them over every couple of weeks.
Hoping it's going
to be... Do you reckon you're going to have another song this year out?
Yes.
Give me a title of a song you've written that may or may not come out. Just a random title. Because if it does come out, people will be like, that's that song she spoke about.
So I can give you the ones that I'm working on at the moment.
Go on then.
So line them up.
Line them up. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And obviously these are working titles, but we're working to them. We're working to them. And Train to Nowhere.
Train to Nowhere, line them up. Red flag. It's mm-hmm. good titles there. Good titles. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too.
Me too. Do you reckon you're going to record an EP or you're just going to keep putting out singles?
I would like to. Yeah. I would like to create an EP.
Do you want to finish recording the rest and then putting them all out together with Red Flag? On like an EP?
Potentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're still trying to figure out that next move at the minute.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's
just,
cool.
Just yeah. in that space where it's like, okay, yeah. what do I feel comfortable with? What do I do?
Yeah. Because you're like, in a weird way, you're starting again, aren't you?
Mm.
You're starting again.
Yeah.
But I have I relate to you quite a lot. Like when we spoke about on the phone, like very briefly before you came, like the whole doing it, taking a break, going back into it a bit more.
Yeah.
Because that's what I was like. I was the same with you. I was fighting to try and get labels' attentions and stuff. And I'm like, I'm going to be the next Keith Urban. I'm going to be on The Voice. Yes. And I'm going to spin my chair around and they're going to think I'm going to pick him, but I'm going to flip him off as I turn around. Do you know what I mean? Can I go on your team? You ain't coming on my team. I just want to see your face. Like I thought I was going to be that. And then you start realizing that, because you get that thing. I don't know if you get it before we run out of time, but do you get that thing where random people will come up to you and go, you're doing so well. The music, like back in the days, not so much, not now, but back then, you're doing so well on my days, you're killing it, you're smashing it, I'll see what you're doing. You don't like anything, do you? They don't like anything, but you're doing so well. But deep down you're like, yeah, I am doing well, and I am going to make it. And then as the years go on, you ain't. And then you're like, but that adds to the fire, doesn't it? Because like, do you remember when old Jody, whatever, when we was in Morrison's and the milk aisle said that I'm smashing, I'm going to be famous. I'm back in the milk aisle, back in Strood, same place. And I'm like, well, I'm still getting milk. My butler's not getting it. My assistant's not getting it. I'm still getting my own milk and I'm still around it. Do you know what I mean? So that kind of adds to it. So I get it. Mm. But then when you take a break and then you come back into it, like, right, I'm probably not going to be flipping people off on The Voice. I'm probably not going to be massive, maybe. I don't know. If it happens, I think you're at that place. If it happens, amazing. If it doesn't, I'm still going to enjoy it. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, but that's the reason. I just think that's the reason why you do it, isn't it?
Yeah, like, exactly.
It's, like you say, if something comes of it, if somebody wants to use your song or, you know,
yeah,
all well and good.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, I mean, the fame thing is a bit of a weird one for me, to be honest. But I just think I want to enjoy it. And if writing songs and just performing in pubs or weddings and things like that, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. Because I can still put music out on Spotify as well and wherever else. And you can create a bit of a fan base. You know.
So before, you was doing music to get signed, but now you're doing music because you love it.
More so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Awesome. 100%.
Yeah.
So that is it. How long have we done? Hour and six. Ooh. That's flown by. Ooh. That's mad. So what's his name? What's that guy's name in that song?
I'm going to come.
That is so funny. Because I never... I never would have thought to put the person's name in the song.
Seriously, I better not come across
but
as crazy now.
But when you put his name in it, I'm sorry to go back to it, I just think it's hilarious. Was you intended to release it with his name in it and be like, pfft?
I think at first, yeah, because at this point,
really,
at this point, we were in ghosting mode.
Oh.
So I think I wrote it when I was probably fuming, to be honest. And then actually, I was like, potential lawsuit. I mean, there is that.
Well, that the freaking baby reindeer thing happening, isn't it?
Yeah. That... Nobody needs that.
Yeah,
no. Nobody needs that. But no, I think when you're writing, so like, as I'm writing now, there's lines in the song that I don't intend to be in there. You know, they're just there from a melodic point of view and kind of let's just put that in until I find something else that I want to put in there. Mm. Maybe I was having a Taylor Swift moment, just thinking, oh, well, you know, she chucked it in. Why can't I?
Yeah.
But then I was, then genuinely I was like, I don't want to do that. I don't.
It's when you release a song like Dear Rodney or something.
Yeah.
And you proper write them out. It's going to be hilarious. That's not,
I think there's more fun in being cryptic.
Not for me. I want to. Yes.
Still more songs.
Still more songs.
So.
But no, it's good because it's the first time we've met.
Yeah.
Meg Harris as well. And this, honestly, so this is episode 5. So when it starts coming out, the episodes, when episode 4 happens, you're the next one. Yeah? So you're episode 5. Remember number 5. 5, 5, 5. But Ren Jackson. It's Ren Jackson, isn't it? So R-E-N Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Short for?
Lauren.
Lauren. Where did Ren come from, quickly?
So, obviously Lauren, Ren. But my nan, her surname was Ren.
So oh, really?
That's a big.
Was it R E N or W R?
W R E N. So I could have gone down that route as well. Some of my designing things were Jackson Ren. I amalgamated it.
Yeah.
And my brother would call me Rene. So I could have gone with Rene, but yeah, Rene. Just Ren's always been Ren has always been in.
Yeah, Ren. I don't know anyone called Ren.
So, apart from the skincare, but
skincare range.
There's a skincare range called Ren. Yeah.
Maybe I need to work on my skin because I have no idea what that is. I need to have a skincare routine. Clearly, is that what is that? Oh, that's that beeping. I wonder if I can hear it on air. The dishwasher's just finished. That's. I really hope that's been picked up on the mic.
That's showbiz for you.
No, the dishwashers, the beeping is our signal to call it a day. Ren Jackson, thank you so much for coming in. Stream a song, Red Flag. When this episode comes out, I'm going to share all your socials and stuff like that. But it was great to meet you.
You too.
Great
thank
to hear
you
your stories
me.
And your songwriting stories. And I really, really hope you release more tunes. Yeah?
I will do.
No more hiatuses. You've had your break.
No.
No, that's
it.
No. Buck, no, you're stoned.
Yes, I'm stoned. Right, great
to
meet. We need to collab.
Great to meet Ren. Great to meet Kara. So Ren Jackson, episode 5
Woo!
Of the Continue Cast. Boop.